Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Calendar has turned. Welcome to October. It's hockey month, and we are winding down the home portion of the preseason schedule tonight. And we're on MSG for our first telecast, so we're a little more fired up, I think, than usual. Marty B.?
I mean, I'm looking outside right now, downtown Buffalo. It's beautiful. The sun is reflecting in the KeyBank building across, or well, it used to
not,
be the
KeyBank. No, it was actually the HSBC building, but
well, yeah, but it moved to the same logo, same.
Not the same logo.
No, not the same logo, but didn't they pick him up anyway? That building across, it's reflecting. It's beautiful.
Yes.
I love it.
There's some retail. There's some space in there, Marty. I think you should rent it out. It would be a good home for you. I mean, close to the rink, right? Like.
Should I open a goalie equipment store, just a goalie specialized store in there with some like, you know, that Danny Gare plastic like ice?
Can ice.
Facility, the can ice. Mm-hmm. Like, so we can train on the can ice. You can test the
equipment. You could house the goalie equipment for every goaltender in professional hockey. So you could have Kay Whitmore down here on a regular basis.
Every piece of equipment from the NHL would come here to Buffalo for being set up. And I would partner with Trey White. We would literally now really open the Trey White
ground floor
goalie
all the way around
of Louisiana at Buffalo.
Amazing. And why are we talking about goaltending, even if it came out of the blue on this blue sky day? Because Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is finally getting a start tonight for the Sabres as we are into Game 5 of the preseason right here at KeyBank Center. Penguins are coming in, and later in the show today, Connor Timmins, new to the Sabres, from the Penguins, of course, will join us here on Sabres Live. But Luukkonen, let's go.
Okay, so for UPL, this is a bit of a different preseason. Obviously, did not get a chance to play any action in the first four games. You know, started camp with a little tweak, has been ramping up practice of late. Lindy Ruff has been saying, we want Luukkonen to play the last two preseason games. So he'll play tonight. Mm-hmm. We'll play probably Friday night. We'll get ready for next Thursday home opener. But at the end of the day, this is such an important start to the season for the Buffalo Sabres that it's not like, hey, UPL, like just get your feet wet in preseason. This is game five of a preseason. The rest of the team is like, we want to be like ramping up here.
Portions of the rest of the team. Some are unable to, right.
Well, there's injuries, especially on the blue line, which we talked yesterday about a lot. But for Luukkonen, I feel like there's a lot of, let's call it pressure. I don't know if that's the correct word for that. But
well, what do you
pressure.
Think you would feel if you were him right now?
I'd feel I better play well.
But so it's pressure, right?
It's pressure.
I think
like,
you're hesitant to say the word, but I think you've lived this, so it does feel like a form of pressure,
like,
right?
If it's game two of preseason, you're like, I'll play a half a game, maybe two periods.
Yeah.
And if I give up three goals, whatever. If I give up four, whatever. I have three more weeks of preparation. I'll have another. But if things go really well for Luukkonen, great. Then you get Friday. You get ready. If you're not feeling 100% into your markers and your movements and everything, and you know, I don't anticipate Pittsburgh to come in with a very, very deep lineup in this
it's
game.
It's right in front of you.
Oh, it's right. I didn't know if it had been updated. But, yeah, there's no Crosby. There's no Malkin. There's, you know. But still, like, that puts
sometimes in life, people, it's literally right there in front of you.
I'm only focusing on the right side of the sheet. But, yeah, I feel like that is pressure to know that all of a sudden you're playing your first preseason game, like, 8 days away from the opening of the season?
I'm sure many goaltenders have not felt great in camp or preseason games over the more than 100-year history of this game. And I'm guessing that you might have lived it too. So let's say Luukkonen is average or lower tonight or even on Friday. It really doesn't matter, but you have to get yourself in the right place. So if that was the case, what would then Luukkonen's next week look like trying to get to a Thursday season opener?
So I know what you're saying. It doesn't matter. And I would believe that the Sabres would go into next Thursday with Luukkonen starting, regardless of really what happens tonight and Friday, if he's 100% healthy. If he gets through the two games and feels really good and the tweak from early in camp is all but gone and everything, then I would think so. But I think that just even us discussing it right now probably brings the conversation to the boardroom. And let's call it the coach's room, the boardroom, where you would have, you know, a conversation about, do we carry three goalies? Do we put one on waivers? Is Luukkonen starting on Thursday? Where are we going? Is Luukkonen getting Thursday, Saturday? Or are we just saying you're getting Thursday and Saturday is a blank canvas? Like, there's a lot of, I was going to say ink, because, you know, we're talking about paper, and but there's a lot of ink that will be, you know, placed on blank canvas from now until next week. So for Luukkonen, I think it's the same thing. Like, I hate to think in a negative way, but that's what we have to kind of do. The positive, if things are positive, he's going in, you know, Sunday is, let's say they play Friday. So Saturday is a day off. Sunday they get back to practice. They get ready for the week. He's geared in. But if it doesn't go well, now do you feel like you have to earn your starting job in practice? Do you feel like you got to show a little bit more? There's a lot that could be on the line for Luukkonen.
What? Let's look at it from the glass overflowing.
Ooh, I like that.
So Luukkonen has two great starts this week.
Okay.
You just mentioned three goalies. He has two great starts, appears 100% healthy. How does that affect their decision to make the 23-man roster?
Because there's two ways of looking at it. Because there is going to be an added number of goaltenders that will be put on waivers.
Connor Ingram, a new Oiler now, by the way, picked up for futures
via trade,
Utah, and his likely, well, will go to the AHL to start.
He's already cleared waivers, so that. But there's going to be goalies that are going to be put on waivers here in the next few days. There's going to be a flooding of goaltenders, so you could hope that maybe you're going to put one of them in. If Luukkonen has two great start, maybe Saturday you wake up saying, he's good. We want to start the season with two goalies. Most likely would be Georgiev, because Lyon, in my opinion, was signed to be the number two here.
2 years.
A two-year deal. So you're like, okay. So that would be one scenario. The other scenario is Luukkonen is great, but we are going to wait a little bit longer before we make a decision, because we don't need 14 forwards, or we don't need 7 or 8 defensemen on the roster to start the season. I hate having three goalies on the roster, but this is not the same three goalies situation that the Sabres found themselves with Luukkonen and Levi and Eric Comrie. It was like, well, who's going to start? There was so much indecision in that situation that it was like, I hate that. But this, I may be able to go with it for 10 days to 2 weeks, just to make sure everything is good.
But when you, because the coach was asked this specifically this week, but when you were looking at the roster in the summertime and nobody was injured at that particular moment. And right now, you're dealing with Bo Byram, mm-hmm. who not playing today, might be able to go Friday. Owen Power, not on the ice today. Matias Samuelson, week to week. And Benson, by the way, has an ailment. He won't go tonight. Should be okay moving forward. But, you know, these are things. And Greenway continues to work, and so does Austin. List was longer than I thought there. Sorry, I digress.
And I may join them because, you know, we talked about maybe fitting in my suits for game night tonight.
Oh, so that's boy. Good. Okay. But when you were looking at the summertime projected 23-man, it would have included two goalies and what? 14-7 or 13-8 when we're talking forwards and defense?
It was 14-7-2. That's my 23-man roster. And one of the 14 is Gertsen.
Gertsen.
I never know if it's a T.
Mason Gertsen.
Gertsen, yes. But he can also play defense in practice because he was a defenseman. So you could have, you know, two extra forwards, mm-hmm. but for rolling your drills in practice, you could have eight D because he can play D. We saw him playing defense yesterday mm-hmm. because they were missing, you know, a defenseman. So, but it was 14-7-2. Now, can you go 14-6-3 and still have that because of the injuries on defense, knowing that, well, maybe Power, we know Samuelson is definitely not starting as a roster piece. He'll mm-hmm. be on IR most likely week to week.
Potentially, yeah.
So it could be 14-6-3, which gets you to 23. But I had 14 forwards picked mm-hmm. for my roster at the start of the season.
Well, as far as the forwards are concerned, tonight we mentioned the fact that Benson is out with an ailment, so Peyton mm-hmm. Krebs is going to move up, and he'll be with Norris and Thompson, a consistent, since Tuck returned, trio in practice and in game situations, Zucker, McLeod, Tuck. We've also seen Quinn, Kalik, Doan, and Malenstein with Danforth and Gertsen round out the forward groups tonight. As far as the blue line is concerned, we're expecting Dahlin to be with Kesselring, Ryan Johnson, yesterday's guest on the show, with today's guest, Connor Timmins, and Jacob Bryson with Radim Mertka, all in front of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. So that's one large group, and we want to tell you more about large groups here at the arena because you can take your next group outing to the next level with Sabres group ticketing packages, save off of single-game pricing, enjoy access to exclusive experiences like photos on the ice after the game, pre-game ice opportunity, Sabres access. There's so much to dive into. Just learn more at sabres.com/groups. Once again, it's game day here at KeyBank Center. Great to have Connor Timmins with us as we'll see the final home preseason game, and the regular season begins a week from tomorrow. How are you doing? How's camp?
Yeah, good. Thank you. It's been good so far. Guys have been working hard, and it's flown by, so it's been awesome.
I'm going to ask you the hard-hitting question to start with, because as a goalie, you've been on, this is your fifth team?
Yeah, my fifth team.
I mean, best goalie you've had as a teammate. And it doesn't have to be best goalie on the ice, but best goalie as a teammate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was pretty close with Joe Wall in Toronto.
Yeah, so, okay.
But all the goalies I've played with have been great. Love the guys who are super loud and yelling at me all the time. Those are typically the best ones.
So, like, you mean, like, as you go pick up the puck, they let you know what's going on?
Or, like,
on.
They're telling me to box out or screaming at me. Man. Yeah.
He would have loved Ashek, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I must see. He used to tell the guys, like, when he couldn't see. Or he would scream. The play would be at the other end, and he would yell for high guy. He wanted always a third man high in the zone. But he would be 200 feet away and be screaming it. So you would have loved it.
Oh, that would have
the
been
irony
perfect.
Is it didn't matter. He would have stopped 2-on-1s and 3-on-0s and all the rest of it. But yeah, so Pittsburgh, former team.
Yes.
There must be so much animosity building.
Yeah, I was there so long. So really looking forward to the preseason game. But I love my time there. Had some good relationships, and it'll be a fun one tonight.
How did it all come about, like, you this summer getting ready for, you know, an off season, and all of a sudden, like, trying to figure out where you were going to go, getting the call and, you know, signing here? So how did that all come about?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I wasn't really expecting to be moved here. Obviously, I'd just gotten to Pittsburgh, and It was just draft day, so you never know what's going to happen. A lot of crazy stuff's going on. But Kyle Dubas just gave me the call and let me know that I'd been traded. And first thing was a lot of excitement, just being from the area, seeing the roster we have here and how much talent there is. It was just a really exciting opportunity.
Give us a sense of growing up in the area, where exactly and where you played your most minor hockey, and just any memories of being in this kind of Niagara region.
Yeah, I grew up in Thorold, Ontario. Played all my minor hockey there for the Southern Tier Admirals. Came over here a lot. We usually played, I think it was the Buffalo Regals. So they were always in our league.
And the SCTA.
SCTA. Yeah, a lot of good memories. Still stay in the area in the summers. Just love this area. It's a dream come true to be in Buffalo.
So what made you pick the Southern Tier Admiral? Because are they called Niagara North?
Niagara North Stars.
Is one. And then a lot of people like go to the GTHL, right? And that's like the big Southern Ontario battle as to where you're going to play. So what made you pick to go to STA?
Yeah, well, like back in my day, you had to kind of stay in your region. So that's how I decided on Southern Tier Admirals instead of Niagara North Stars. My dad was a coach. We had the same group growing up for basically all 8 years. And we always had a pretty good team, so it was fun. I thought it was important, and my dad thought it was important for me to just, you know, stay where I am. And even if it's a bad team, you got to learn how to play on bad teams. And I think there's a lot of humility you can learn in losing and winning and all of the lessons that you learn. So I think it was a good idea for me to stay where I was.
So there was no bribing of you, like, from other teams and, we want him on this team. And then all of a sudden there's, like, you know, a new car showing up on the driveway.
To be honest, I wasn't really quite on that level in minor hockey. So I was just trying to make the team every year.
He ended up being a second-round pick, so I think you developed a pretty high pedigree as you climbed the ranks. Now, that being said, where do you feel you're at age 27 and the runway that still exists here in the NHL for you?
Yeah, I think my game's slowly been growing over the course of my career. Obviously, there were some setbacks with injuries and such as I was younger, but I think the more I play, the more comfortable I feel. I think I still have a lot of room to grow. There's still some potential that's been untapped, and that's why it's an exciting opportunity to be here. Obviously, a young team, a role to be fulfilled. It's just a great opportunity.
How much of the training camp has been focused on defending and the defensive play? Even yesterday at practice, it was penalty kill early in the in the session. So how much of that is going on, and is that something that you've been focusing on as your role with the team?
Yeah, for sure. I think Lindy's obviously made that very clear that that's a place we need to take a step in this year if we want to be a successful team. And I think that's somewhere I've really grown the last 3 years especially. So I see it as a role I can fulfill, and I just want to do whatever it takes for this team to take the next step.
Does it feel good in a way when you come into camp and you have different playing partners in each preseason game, or is it a challenge? Because obviously the group has had some injuries to deal with here, and I mean, as you can imagine, we spend an awful lot of the summer talking about new pairings this year and left shot and right shot and how the balance is, and then the balance gets thrown out the window a few days into camp when guys get dinged up.
Yeah, I think for me especially, it's been important. Obviously getting to know each guy and their tendencies. And as a team, obviously injuries are going to happen throughout the year. You never know who you're going to be playing with. So to get a few reps with each guy is really beneficial.
Okay, you're a bigger guy, so I like to know, do you use a longer stick? Where do you cut it? Is it like you get it to your nose? I feel like sticks have gone shorter, like chin and maybe even like just neck area. So what's your preference when it comes to that?
Yeah, I've never really been about measuring it to a certain part of my body. I go 61 inches every time.
Okay.
So I get them at 62 inches and then I measure an inch and cut that off. I like to have it a little shorter just for in tight plays in the corners and to be able to slip pucks to the center and stuff like that. But it's a fine line as a defenseman because you want to have that reach and be able to get a stick on pucks. So.
Why don't you get them at 61 and you don't have to waste time cutting them? So 62 down to 61.
Because I find 90 flex is a little too stiff. and 85 is a little too whippy, so I get them at 85, and then I cut an inch off, so they're at 88.
So it's an in-between.
Yeah.
Okay, see?
It's amazing.
Well,
attention to detail, personal preference. These are all good things.
You know I'm all about attention
I
to detail.
Know.
So, yeah, I like that.
Did you have any other sports growing up as a kid that you loved playing around here?
Our whole hockey team would play together as a soccer team in the summer.
Nice. So
I felt like that was always great for conditioning and just something fun to take your mind off hockey. But it was never super competitive. It was more just for fun.
Were you guys like the forwards were playing up front and the striker and the defensemen were middle or, you know, midfield or back? Like,
I think
did you guys switch it up?
Our goalie was our striker, so we were all over the place. But like I said, it was just for fun, and everyone really enjoyed it. A good way to get some activity in the summer. So,
did you play goalie ever in soccer or try it? Because I was a terrible, and when I say terrible soccer goalie, I thought it was like hockey, and then all of a sudden I'm like, man, that net is so darn big, so I was awful.
Yeah, no, I was never in net. That was we left that to some other guys. I was just center midfield. That's where I like to play.
Okay, yeah. That's good. A lot of running.
Yeah,
a lot of running.
Yeah.
Connor, thanks for the time tonight, and good luck this season.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Timmons, part of the group on the blue line tonight. We are calling on all college students. The Sabres now offering a special offer for college students on Monday through Wednesday. Home games throughout the season. Tickets start at just $20 using a college email address. Visit sabres.com/tickets to get yours today. We've had a nice week from the blue line perspective amidst all the injuries for the Sabres. Talking with Johnson yesterday, Timmons today. Mm-hmm. They'll play together tonight. That's the expectation anyway. But I think a lot of people are still going to look at, you know, another newcomer in Kesselring. And after all the talk this year, this summer, Owen Power, Michael Kesselring, left, right. And then here he is with Rasmus Dahlin based on the injuries. So,
still left, right.
It is still. It's actually a really nice balance of left, right.
Like, in this one,
like
yes,
this
it
year,
is.
We were starting presumably with, and still might, because Byram should be hopefully ready to go on Friday. But it was Byram and Dahlin, right,
yes,
as the top pair.
Which is two lefties,
and then you were looking at the balance after that. But what do you think Kesselring is getting out of this entire experience? And again, not unlike what Timmons just said, the reps with other guys.
Well, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation to have the injuries on the blue line, but it puts you in the position to, we talked about the top four, Byram, Dahlin, Power, Kesselring. But it seemed clear to us that it was going to be Byram, Dahlin as a pair and Power and Kesselring as a pair, but it could easily be Byram and Kesselring as a pair or Dahlin and Kesselring as a pair. Now it forces you to try something different by having Dahlin and Kesselring practice together, play together, and see if there's something there. Because there's going to be changes in games that are going to happen. Somebody's playing better. Somebody block a shot, missing a few shifts. How do you adjust that? It's going to happen. So now you get a chance to try it. The other thing that I'm looking forward to on the back end tonight is Jacob Bryson.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about him, you know, yesterday during the show. But this morning, they're working the power play. And on the Yuri Kulik, Josh Doan, Jack Quinn unit, Jacob Bryson was at the point.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that would be Power or that would be Byram, knowing that Dahlin is with the number one unit. But it was Jacob Bryson getting a chance to have a little bit of power play time, so I'm looking forward to that.
Are you looking forward to our first MSG broadcast that starts at 6:30 with pregame coverage tonight?
I am looking forward to it. As Ryan Johnson said yesterday, we're pros, we're experienced. I feel much better about it today than I did yesterday. But it'll be fun to be in the building again, fans walking in, hanging out around the sets, having us kind of do some prep work. And also have the wheel going for next Thursday. Like, I mean, I know it's the one preseason game that we're doing, but everything leads to next Thursday when the Rangers are in town here to play Buffalo.
NHL season begins at 5 p.m. on Tuesday. Are you excited?
I am very excited. I woke up this morning, and I wanted to ask Connor Timmons this, and I forgot. I failed. Sorry, but I woke up this morning thinking, preseason's too long, training camp's too long. This should be started this weekend. It should be October 1st, should be the start of the season every year.
What was the basis for your question about recruitment of him as a young player? Were you wooed with a car when you were 15?
Because when
by
I
a
grew
local
up,
organization?
I grew up in Quebec City, and we had to play with our town. There was no moving of organizations. And in the early 90s, we went to Toronto to play a tournament, played against the Toronto Marlboros and the Toronto Young Nationals and all of that. And the story went that they were allowed to move organizations, kind of like where it's at right now. And there was big money. Mm-hmm. Like back then, there was home theaters, DVD players, and all of that stuff being gifted to parents so that they would move their kids from one organization to another. Mm-hmm. So we had heard all those stories. So that's why I wanted to know if he was one of the, you know, cars in the driveway. I've heard the stories. All of a sudden, you know, one dad has a dealership and they want to recruit a kid.
Right.
And there's a brand new Corvette in the driveway, right? That's the way it goes.
Seems a little excessive. They could have probably got away with an Equinox or something.
Or a Dodge Caravan, because it is, you know, minivan season when it's hockey season.
Well, Luke Hughes is going nowhere. He's got 63 million reasons to stay in New Jersey. We'll dive into that story and much more as Sabres Live rolls on from KeyBank Center, where the Sabres have their home preseason, last home preseason game tonight. The Penguins are in. 7 p.m. start here on WGR, Sports Radio 550 and MSG, with our pregame coverage on the television side beginning at 6:30. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't say this often, simply because I'm like top five coldest people in the world. But I'm actually grateful to be inside the arena right now because the wind's a little whippy, like when Connor Timmins leaves the stick at 85.
It's 88. It's 88.
He goes to 88 because it's 88. Too whippy at 85. So the wind is whipping around him.
At 90, but yes. It is, you know, downtown on the water. It's a little whippy.
Hey, long-range forecast, though, looks pretty good for our blue
really
and gold
nice.
Carpet arrival next Thursday
next
for the home
Thursday.
Opener.
It looks good for Sunday night. Bills and Patriots, the whiteout. Remember, wear white. Want the 75,000 there or whatever it is to be in white. There are going to be towels flashing. It's going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to our blue and gold carpet arrival next Thursday. You and I will be walking the carpet, Duffer. Dan and Razor
briskly
will do it
if
well.
It's cold.
We will do it quickly. But hey, you talked and you teased that is what the pros do. They tease before the break. Luke Hughes signing a brand new contract.
And he needed it. We're not talking about guys that need extensions before next July rolls around. We're talking about this guy needed to get signed so he can play this year. It's been the story for the Devils for months, and then it became more pronounced with him not being in camp at all. And now that stalemate ends with 7 years, $9 million
per. Yeah, so it was Kaprizov yesterday signing the 8 years extension that kicks in next year, July 1. Luke Hughes is different, as you mentioned, RFA. Wasn't signed, played two full seasons in the NHL, and gets rewarded with a 7-year, $9 million a year contract. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little rich for me.
Really?
I didn't think he was going to be going to 9. I thought it was going to be probably closer to 8, but in the high 7s.
Okay.
So that's what I was thinking.
So he's the highest paid Hughes.
Yes.
Jack is second. Quinn is
in
third.
In 5 years, Jack will be more. And in, 2 years for Quinn, he will be a lot more.
Do you think Jack will get to Quinn's level on his next deal? Because Quinn is going to soar to 14, I think.
Quinn is going to 14. In 2 years from now, if Quinn Hughes, number one, if he puts up the type of numbers he did last year, he was 25
he was Norris
points.
Before that. It doesn't even matter last year's numbers.
He's built that, but if he continues to put the numbers, Vancouver is going to have to give him whatever he wants.
Right.
So it's going to be 16 or 17 or 18.
Right. But would Jack Hughes then, after more years of trying to earn that next deal, because there are people that believe a fully healthy Jack Hughes can be in the conversation for a Hart or in the conversation for an Art Ross Trophy. Do you think Jack's next deal will be as big as Quinn's next deal?
I think Quinn's more.
Okay,
I
agree.
Quinn is more, and the reason is because he's got Vancouver right where he wants him.
Does he though?
Can't let him go.
Does he really want Vancouver?
Okay, so, but if it's New Jersey getting Quinn Hughes, it will be much less than if Vancouver keeps Luke Quinn Hughes.
Why?
Because that would mean that Quinn wants to go to New Jersey. His brother Luke already signed $9 million.
He's not taking a haircut to go to New Jersey.
To play with his two brothers?
By the time he gets there, they're going to have so much money off the books, he's going to be able to get almost the deal we're talking about with Vancouver.
I heard Mike Johnson talk about something like this today, saying like, okay, let's just say, you know, you ask Connor McDavid to take $1 million or $2 million less than what he should be getting.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what Quinn Hughes is thinking in a couple of years, saying, I'll go to New Jersey, and instead of being at 16 or 17 or $18 million a year, I'll take 14 just to save some money. What's to say New Jersey uses that $3, $4, or $5 million that they saved in a wise way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why players are trying to maximize what they can earn. Because there's nothing that tells them that the team is going to use it in the right way.
But just as an example, by the time Hughes could arrive, let's say legally, in New Jersey.
Yes, legally.
Without, you know, let his contract expire in Vancouver, arrive in New Jersey. There would be 1 year left on Dougie Hamilton, which they will obviously, if he hasn't moved by then, they will try to push.
Yes.
But they would have Brendan Dillon's $4 million coming off the books by then. They would have Andre Palat's $6 million coming off the books by then. And I mean, I would say they would still maybe want to keep Dawson Mercer at $4 million. And then the cap is skyrocketing up. So there is going to be ample room. Although the trick would be, right now, their captain, Nico Hischier, has an expiring contract at that time also. So
they'd have to make a decision, maybe.
Yeah. But he still should be considered part of their core forwards moving forward. If you're bringing in Quinn Hughes, I would think
you want to win, and you want to win Hischier and Jack and Luke and Quinn. And
where do you think, with the news of the day, that Luke Hughes has signed with New Jersey 7 years, $9 million per starting right now, where do you think Luke Hughes ranks this year among highest paid defenseman in the NHL?
So I looked at that quickly earlier because Erik Karlsson is number one.
Correct. 11.5.
11.5. And obviously Dahlin is up there.
Tied for second with Doughty at 11.
Yes. I will say he's 12.
Are you looking over my shoulder?
No, because I kind of had a feeling he wasn't top 10. But I'm like, he's also not 15, okay. So I went in the middle. I cut it short an inch.
He's tied for
to 12. Go halfway.
Tied for 12.
Okay.
Well done. You're amazing.
Okay, good.
Don't be worried about the pregame. You're in good form. After Dahlin, it's Bouchard at 10.5.
Yes.
Werenski, Jones, McAvoy, Fox, Dobson, all at 9.5. Nurse, 9.25. Yossi with the best one, 9.059.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you,
right.
Roman, for being loyal
Sid
to your number.
Crosby.
And then tied for 12th, Dougie Hamilton, Cale Makar, Jacob Chychrun, and Luke Hughes. Isn't that a wild foursome? Like, Hamilton's there on tenure in the NHL and production.
Makar should be 18
Makar
million.
Should be way more than nine.
Yes.
Chychrun earned this next level market contract for himself since going to Washington, but he still doesn't. He's not in the conversation when you're talking Cale Makar.
No.
So this, like, the fact that they're side by side and a relative newcomer of less than 160 NHL games played, Luke Hughes, is making the same as them. It's wild, isn't
it? So he is 12 right now. Out of the 12 ahead of Luke Hughes, and I'm not going to take Erik Karlsson. Because Carlson signed, there was whatever. But how...
Dude, at 100 points.
Okay, so how many of the 11 on that list is Luke Hughes better than?
None.
Well,
Not right now. I mean, some would say Nurse, and I think that might be unfair, but they're different players, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, the hardcore Ranger fans who are still sour about last year might say that Adam Fox is going the wrong way.
I'm gonna blame coaching for that.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And everybody would have suggested that Hughes maybe is closer to Seth Jones, who, of course, got the uptick and the return to form of draft pedigree and the best moments of his career when he went to Florida last year. So he's moving in the right direction.
I mean, Sergachev is $8.5 million. I think Sergachev is better than Luke Hughes right now in Utah. So
here's the thing. I think Jake Sanderson,
Thomas Chabot, they're all in that conversation. I mean, Victor Hedman is $8 million.
Here's the thing. Do you ever feel like you are influenced by others too much to have a true individual opinion on things? I feel like
I have heard
too many people that I trust and I'm close enough with that love Luke Hughes so much that this is an argument that's hard for me to balance a little bit. That's all. 'Cause
I have a hard time right now saying that Luke Hughes is the best defenseman on the New Jersey Devils.
Well, he's tied with Hamilton in salary. So,
in salary. Yeah. But I can't even put him number one.
We might see it,
so
though.
We could see it this year.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, there's 32 teams in the NHL, and they all have a number one defenseman. He's probably not in the top 20. Probably not in the top 25 of defensemen in the National Hockey League.
I don't know. What did your buddies at NHL Network have them ranked when we did the offseason? Jeff would know this.
I have the
list.
Producer
Jeff would know this.
I have the list in my
book.
He's
got them all memorized.
I have the list in my book. But yes, it's
So Hughes.
But they are also, they're in Secaucus, New Jersey, so they probably have Luke Hughes higher.
So as another way to continue the discussion on yet another big contract signing before the regular season begins next week is perspective, comparison, and make it Sabre-related. You've been talking to me off-air about this, and Luke Hughes' deal today rockets him past Buffalo's top scorer, Tage Thompson, which, again, this is interesting, right? You're talking about a young defenseman, 155 games played, and he's at $9 million. Tage Thompson still has 4 years to go after this on a deal that pays him $7.142.
Yeah.
Tage Thompson, as of today, is 107th in cap hit in the NHL.
Jeez.
You talk about one of the great contracts right now in the NHL. It is 1,000% Tage Thompson.
Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin make $18.6 million together.
Mm-hmm.
Kaprizov makes 17.
Right.
But that's what happens when the cap goes up, and then you hit an opportunity to really swing for the fence, and Kaprizov did that. But I'm, you know, yes, you rolled the dice, and Kevin Adams and the Sabres rolled the dice on Dylan Cousins, and it didn't turn out the way they wanted to. So they trade mm-hmm. him to Ottawa. They get Josh Norris in return. And hopefully that works for the best for everybody. But when he signed Tage Thompson, that was a bargain. Knowing that Tage Thompson, with the production that he's been putting the last few years, would be as good as those 14, 15, and 16, and $17 million player starting next year and the year after.
You will undoubtedly hear me repeat this, especially when the regular season begins. But since I did the work, in quotations.
Yes.
And we're talking about him. The last 4 years, Tage Thompson is in the top 10 in the NHL in goals per game. And you can imagine the company that he's keeping in that. He's scoring at 0.52 goals per game. If you understand history of the NHL, this is such a big number that he is, you know, the catalyst offensively for this team. We know that. But do you also know, and this is why tonight's matchup is good, because we see it again. We see Norris and Thompson, and you just mentioned
yes.
moving on from Cousins and having Norris. You know what I realized this morning?
What did you realize this morning?
That in the last five NHL seasons.
Yes.
Allow me to put this Buffalo Sabre with this group of NHL scorers.
Okay.
Jack Eichel, Mitch Marner, Dylan Larkin, Timo Meier, Clayton Keller, Elias Pettersson, Jordan Kyrou, Evander Kane, and Josh Norris, all tied inside of the top 40 in goals per game. Josh Norris is a scorer. He has to play the number of games that we want him to play, and I think it's going to be a fascinating dynamic to see who helps Norris and Thompson be continue to be the goal scorers that they have proved. Isn't that amazing? Like, Josh Norris scores at 0.39 goals per game. It stood out to me because when I looked at his games played, I'm like, 91 goals in that few games played? He has to be in really good company in the NHL. And that is quite a
the
group. I get it. Marner and Jack are playmakers, yes. Pettersson, but still, when you're putting yourself in that
Kyrou, Keller, Timo Meier, who, you know, like, he's maybe the exception to that, plays a bit of a different game, but I think Norris and Thompson, and now I'm kind of disappointed that Benson as an ailment won't be in the lineup tonight, because I want to see another look of Benson, Thompson, and Norris, and see how they continue to build, because I was impressed with, you know, their first outings, and I want to see it. And now we're going to also see Tuck, McLeod, and Zucker again. I feel like there was some really good traction to be made there. So, but since we're talking about money, and I know we got a minute before break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I just say, though,
yeah,
that ties in with Norris? Because, again, if Norris plays the full season and produces like he has produced, people will look at his contract as proper
yep.
and oh. excellent moving forward for this team. That's the point of this discussion here.
The point is that we cannot now, starting in 2025-26, feel the sticker shock of any contracts.
Correct.
Because that's just the way the numbers are going to go up, and they're going to go up really quick, because over the last 5 years, they haven't gone up as quick because the cap was flat, recovering from COVID and, you know, missing out on one season, a half season the next. But now, It's like it is going to rise quickly. Mm-hmm. We cannot be sticker shocked by any of it.
Producer Jeff able to put a bow on the Luke Hughes discussion.
He was probably ninth.
NHL Network had Luke Hughes on the cusp. He was not in the top 20.
Okay, well, that makes like, what did I say, probably 25th.
I know, you were spot on.
On the cusp.
Amazing.
But what I was going to say, because we have the last segment coming up, but Addy and Sam are sitting right over here, and I brought it up.
Co-producers.
Co-producers, and Sam says, what? I missed it yesterday. So Kaprizov gets his $17 million. It's a big contract. Luke Hughes gets 7 years at $9 million. But you know I love Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, right? Mm-hmm. Yesterday on the Wheel of Fortune, the girl that went to the last puzzle, she had earned the $1 million wedge earlier in the show. She spun the envelope. She got the puzzle. They opened it up. $1 million. Only the fourth time. And the first since Ryan Seacrest has started. So she won over $1 million in cash and prizes in that.
Same annual salary for Kirill Kaprizov.
Yeah, same. She's actually making more.
She
got $1,035,000.
She's
more than Kaprizov.
She's a little shy on the bonus
money.
30
minutes of work, too. So it's pretty good per minute.
Ukko Pekka Luukkonen in goal tonight and a surprise appearance from Mike Sullivan. That story next on Sabres Live.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rolling forward on a game day here at KeyBank Center and a full broadcast on MSG tonight. Yes. 6:30 for pregame coverage. Hope you'll join us then. Sabres born on this day. Larry Keenan, who was part of the Sabres in year one, 70 and 71, and eventual Amherst Hall of Famer Dominic Pittis, born on this day. So
Dominic
happy birthday.
Pittis.
Dom was a class of 2020 Hall of Fame for the Amherst. Happy birthday. Mike Sullivan. This really...
He's no longer the coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, people. He's with the New York Rangers.
This really caught our attention, seeing him on the game notes tonight.
So I'm reading the game notes, and I'm looking through like the coaches and whatever, and Dan Muse is the new coach, head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, so something to kind of look for, like how Pittsburgh, but with a new coach. And then I see this name down at the bottom of the list. It says Mike Sullivan. I'm like, did Pittsburgh PR forget to remove Mike Sullivan's name from their notes? No, he is actually an NHL referee.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Mike Sullivan is double-dutying all season as a head coach of the New York Rangers and refing some games around the
NHL. Anything to get the calls going his way for the Rangers this
year. He's pre-scouting for the Eastern Conference, but yes.
We don't do this often, but Kendrick Nicholson, Mike Sullivan, James Tobias, and Sean Oliver, your officials tonight.
Anthem singer Cammie Clooney tonight.
That we could say on a regular basis because we have seen and heard her be excellent for over a year now on the regular basis at home games at KeyBank Center.
Well, yeah, and she's very good, and I love that fans respond to
30 seconds
her,
left.
Her what would you say? Her performance.
Yes.
Yes.
Your performance is waning here in the final 20. What do you got?
What do I got? Okay, listen. We got some newcomer, Kesselring, Doan. Some people may not have seen them play, so it's on MSG. So turn in, pay attention to those. Luukkonen in his first game. But for me, I'm keening in on Norris and Thompson tonight.
Number one. Back in goal for the Sabres tonight, Ukko Pekka Luukkonen. And our first broadcast on MSG begins at 6:30. See you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.